Good morning, Tucson, and just the happiest of Fridays to all of you out there. Welcome into Tipping Points, normally hosted by Zach Yenser, but my name is Louis Christensen. I'm the curator of the Twitter feed Tucson Tomorrow, where we talk about improving Tucson, the city that we all love, with maybe a little bit of tough love thrown in there as well. I am beyond excited about today, but first and foremost, if someone sent you Zach's way, if someone said, hey, you got to tune in at 9 o'clock to Zach, he is the bee's knees, and you listen to this program and go, man, that really sucked. Don't trust what you're hearing today. I am merely the backup quarterback to the MVP talent that Zach Yenser truly is. So I'd welcome you to look up his podcasts and previous shows to get the real taste for why everyone is so in love with this hour on 10:30 a.m. Speaking of quarterbacks, at the bottom of the hour, we'll be welcoming in Arizona Wildcats football newest member of the team reporter, Kim Becker. That's a new position started by Jed Fish and his crew to highlight all the exciting things happening in that program and that new era. I'll also be hopping on that soapbox to talk to you folks out there who might be sitting on your hands waiting for this team to get good before you start showing up. I'm not going to call you a fan yet. Honestly, you might just have bought a t-shirt at some point in time with U of A on it, and based on that level of dedication, you probably waited for it to go on sale. So yes, we're going to get a little spicy towards the bottom of the hour, but first and foremost, here at the top, it might not feel like it outside, and man, hearing that forecast, it might not feel like it over the weekends, but snowbird season is rapidly approaching. We're only a few weeks away from peak tourism season here in Tucson, Arizona. So for our first guest, I'd like to welcome in COO of Madden Media, Sarah Hupp. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Hey, thanks, Louis. Really happy to be here this morning with
you. Yeah, super excited, and not just because you are my COO, as I am employed by by Madden Media. So Sarah, just real quick, for those who don't know about Madden, what is it? Why are you here today?
Yeah, so Madden is locally based here in Tucson. That's where we're headquartered. But we work with destinations all across the U.S. on marketing strategy. And essentially, we're their destination marketing agency. So we work with places to really promote travel, to promote tourism, and overall to promote these awesome places, not only for travel and for tourism, but also as great places to live, to work, and to play.
Yeah, I love that. What are some of those destinations across the nation? Just to kind of give us some scale what you guys work with.
Totally. Really, it's from coast to coast and everything in between. And it's from small places like Herman, Missouri, which some of you may have heard about. I know Louis has.
Definitely, yeah. Very, very well acquainted with them.
All the way to Tampa Bay, Florida, who's one of my personal favorite clients and just a really fun up-and-coming place that's super modern, super cool, and a lot of places all in between. So we're lucky that we really get to span the gamut of small to medium to even large destinations like in Atlanta.
Very cool. So tourism is often kind of seen as like a dirty word. It's, you know, that Oldsmobile pulling up with the kids, they're going to pile out, leave their trash. It's, you know, the tour bus that's pulling up and taking the photos and leaving before even really considering where they've been. Do you think that tourism is starting to change now in recent years, or is it still just kind of that scourge on local communities?
I mean, tourism is a really important part, actually, to local communities. Where we have good tourism, where we have good hospitality, where we have that regular flow of tourists, it actually empowers the communities to be better. It gives us more economic impact so that we can make the place that we live a better community to live in. It allows us to have stability when we look at the hospitality industry, places like restaurants, which matter a lot to us. We have such an awesome scene here in Tucson, particularly. You know, and I think as we've seen in the past, as we head into those more challenging seasons, historically summer, obviously for us, you know, a lot of those places shut down. So the way I see tourism and the way that we've seen this impact across the nation for many different communities, when you have a good, stable flow of tourists, you actually have a better impact on your community. It's a better place to live.
That's really interesting. So just to throw some numbers out there that I grabbed, because again, I do work in this industry. From Visit Tucson, since that's, you know, where we all live and where we all love. This is from 2019. Obviously, some things happened last year, kind of threw off some numbers. But
oh, really?
I don't know if you've heard. From 2019, we had 7.1 million visitors here, overnight visitors in Pima County. That equaled to $2.6 billion in direct travel spending. Now, to kind of put that into local relevance, Raytheon, our beloved Raytheon here in Tucson, their entire annual impact on the entire state of Arizona is $2.6 billion. So if you're there going, oh man, I just really hate tourism, what a bummer to our community, just imagine what Tucson would look like and our economy would look like, how many of those restaurants that you love, places you go, attractions that are here because of the folks that work at Raytheon, that impact. So yeah, when Sarah says it's important, it is definitely important. Now, as last year happened and everything kind of changed for everyone, do you think that tourism and how people are approaching how they travel is also changing, or is it just more the same? It's just, we're all, you know, last year was a blip in the radar, or what are you seeing around the industry?
These are definitely some changes that are here to stay, and we're seeing the data that's supporting that. And just overall, you know, consumers are changing their habits. This isn't going to change overnight. It's something we're getting used to in light of COVID, really, and learning to live with it. And I think the key there is being able to still travel, but doing it safely. Mm. One of the biggest changes that we saw, just from a consumer behavior perspective, road trips. And I don't think that really comes as a surprise. You know, flights were way down, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. But road trips continue to be the number one way that people are traveling, you know, especially as we saw this last summer. The other piece to that is these digital nomads, with more and more places allowing for and really supporting remote work. Hmm. What used to be, you know, not so likely to go on a several week vacation or even a month or several month vacation,
right, yeah,
has now become super accessible. So people can drive, they can take their job with them on the road, either staying at an Airbnb, staying at a hotel in part, or even in some cases, living out of their really souped up, awesome new van, which is a huge trend that started really just over the past couple of years. So people are adapting. Those changes are here to stay for sure for a while, if not even longer term.
Yeah. Now, I was flipping through one of the decks that you were putting together for an upcoming presentation and noticed that sustainability is really a big thing all of a sudden, and that's not going to come as a surprise to people with electric vehicles and just a lot of talk with water resources and whatnot here in Tucson. What does sustainable tourism mean? What is that term?
Yeah, so sustainable tourism is really looking at being able to enjoy a destination, being able to enjoy a place, a vacation, and doing it sustainably, trying to prevent what we call over-tourism, where it gets so oversaturated that you can't even enjoy that natural landscape. And I think the other piece to this is traveling responsibly and, you know, simple things, picking up your trash when you're, you know, somewhere new, and just not leaving that footprint behind is the biggest piece to it. So when we look at sustainable travel, it's being able to go places and enjoy them, and especially with outdoors being such a huge trend, more people getting out there over this past year, finding this new love of the outdoors, and it's being able to do it sustainably.
That's great. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about this because we're kind of up against a break here in a couple of seconds, but where we see Tucson going with that, where, you know, is Tucson the type of place that sustainable travelers, the people looking for that, are coming? And maybe, is that even a thing that we want? Is the bottom line in line with that type of thing, right? Or is it just kind of something that kind of to gloss over and, you know, just think, oh, that's just a marketing term. So as we head out for break, please stay tuned for that segment there, that conversation about sustainable tourism, what Tucson can do to attract that new tourist.
Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
All right, welcome back again. This is not Zach Yenser. This is Louis Christensen. So if I've offended you in any way, shape, or form, it's not Zach Yenser's fault. Continue to listen to this great hour. We are so blessed to have a guy like Zach who really, truly cares about this community and, man, is invested. Sarah also knows Zach, and we were just chatting about how much he does for the city of Tucson. It's really hard to pin him down. So first off, before we get back into sustainable tourism and everything else, we need to talk about FC Tucson. They'll be recognizing their men and women that keep our community safe with First Responders Night presented by Rescue Me Wellness. That's at 7 p.m. FC Tucson's men's soccer team is on a four-game winning streak. That's awesome. And cruising towards a playoff spot. So if you've been thinking about getting into local football, local soccer, now would be the perfect time to do that. So go ahead and visit fctucson.com to snag your tickets. So back to Sarah, COO of Madden Media. That is a digital marketing agency that, or actually really just everything agency, that focuses on tourism and economic development. We're talking about sustainable tourism. So Sarah, now let's kind of make it personal. Let's bring it back into the Tucson world. Should Tucson position itself as a place where sustainable tourism happens and can grow?
Absolutely. And I think we've already seen that and have been doing it. You know, I know we were talking about how in light of COVID, more and more people, as they get out to travel, they're looking for those outdoors experiences. Mm-hmm. What better place to do that than in Tucson? You want to do it in a sustainable way. And I think really where that comes in is being able to have that education out there for consumers so that they can enjoy the outdoors in a responsible way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what that looks like is the fact that Tucson has so many offerings. You know, and it's simple things. It's being able to take care of the environment that you're going to enjoy. And it's interesting because, you know, as we were kind of getting into this year, I was a little bit skeptical. I was wondering, you know, do travelers actually care about going to Sure. these destinations that promote sustainability? Or is that just something that as marketers, we think they care about?
It's super important. They'll all love it. Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, where this sort of stems from is, you know, mid-2000s, we were seeing more and more lifestyle brands that are pushing this sustainable message. And we're seeing consumers actually willing to pay more to mm-hmm. have these types of brands that support, you know, something that's in line with their values, with sustainability. So there was recently a study done by one of the partners that we work often with for research around the tourism and travel industry. And destinations analysts is what they're called. Mm-hmm. And they did this study with consumers to see, you know, does sustainability impact where you may consider to travel? More than half of consumers said absolutely. It's very important to them. So that was a game changer for us. And
yeah,
it's something that Tucson is absolutely primed for.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, these organizations, and you know, they're out there to make the local economy more money, right? It's to fill the hotels, it's to fill the restaurants, it's to fill the bars, to fill the golf courses, whatever it may be. And again, if you're thinking, "Oh, I don't want that," you probably need to reconsider that. This might be the money that keeps restaurants open that you love personally. But as we think about it, it's so much better for a local economy to have someone stay in a downtown, to hop on their bike and go to restaurants instead of driving all the way out to some, you know, far-flung place, load up at Costco and stay there, as far as the dollar amount that they're going to be spending within that community. So yeah, it definitely makes sense when you think about it like that. It's so easy to hear, you know, ecotourism and sustainability and green and think that it's just opposite of revenue and money, and really it's not at this point in time. Like you said, over half are saying, yeah, this is big to me. It's really important.
It matters, and consumers are willing to invest in it, which I think is the major part that we have to cater to and accept, and is actually really, really good news, because we all want the same thing here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's probably part of why we have an electric tram going through Sabino Canyon versus the diesel ones that I grew up
absolutely
you know, riding on and smelling
streetcar, yeah.
and the streetcar and all those things. So you know, as more tourists, you know, embrace that, those things start to make money and make revenue and make back those tax dollars that people might not have liked getting spent in the first place.
Yeah, and on top of that, Louis, it's the fact that it's not just a good place to be in the winter. Now we can really spread that message out, and it's easier for people to do that because of this whole remote opportunity that's been born out of COVID. So now people can stay midweek. They can come take advantage of some of those awesome summer deals that we have every year. So it's also about kind of spreading the love and spreading that demand for getting tourists here throughout the year, not just in that prime season.
Yeah. And when we think about our city, it's so easy to think that people can just move here blindly, but it's really just a first-time visitation that really starts everything. Either someone's visiting a family member who lives here, someone's visiting the campus, maybe they'll stay for 4 years plus. You know, maybe it's just for a golf tournament, for a guy's trip, and then it's like, hey, maybe I can stay here. And like you said, with this new kind of economy that we have with remote working as a possibility, you know, Tucson's really prime for that. Livability.com named Tucson the 9th best city for remote workers. You know, they named affordability and high quality of life for powerhouse arts, culture, performance, sports, and music. We'll be talking about sports at the bottom of the hour. Outdoors, obviously, everyone loves our outdoors.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, high speed internet and those co-working spaces. So it really is a city primed for remote workers. And on that note, you know, Madden was an in-office company his entire history until last year. So as the COO of a newly found remote company, how do you think that's been going for Madden?
Yeah, I mean, for us in particular, there was a lot of good that came out of it, you know, because the majority of our clients, 99% of our clients, aren't based in Tucson. You know, we're used to working with clients in a semi-remote fashion, and we'll go travel out to those destinations periodically throughout the year. What it really enabled us to do, though, is bring our teams together in a way that actually allowed us to be more impactful and service our clients even better than what we were doing when we were all physically in the same space. Now, you're probably wondering, yeah, there's some pros and cons associated with that.
Yeah.
And there are, but the biggest piece that we saw is being able to get on those video conferences so easily without having, you know, the sound of everything else happening in the same building. You know, when we have six teammates that are on a call, what we used to do is everybody would gather around in this little teeny tiny conference room. We had those, you know, you remember,
oh my gosh,
those
yes,
tripod phones that are in the middle and everyone's kind of hovering over it trying to talk into it. And it was a really hard way to connect with our clients. And now it's so much more personalized, where we can easily see everybody on these screens. You have that video connection. Mm-hmm. It's as good as it gets to being in person with our clients. So it's actually been a really good thing for us.
Yeah. Like Sarah said, I personally experienced that. I mean, if anyone's ever tried to make dinner plans over speakerphone with three people, Imagine trying to convince someone who just spent $1 million with your company that they're in for a really good time with five or six people in a small little conference room. It was interesting.
It's as much fun as it sounds.
Exactly. So yeah, I can definitely see that. I've experienced it. So as a, you know, obviously COO, but you're also an employee, how has that experience been, you know, working from home? Like, do you feel that you're missing out on something? Do you feel like you're, you know, we were officed in downtown Tucson. That's super fun. So how has that shift been to, you know, wherever you live in town?
Yeah, I think it's actually been kind of a fun shift in some ways. You know, now it's allowed not only myself personally, but I see it with our other teammates, is being able to explore those places that are near your home, where maybe before I would never go down to SACE for a happy hour on, you know, a long river. But now that's become a happy hour spot for me. I'll meet up with my husband after work. So it's kind of opened these new opportunities that I didn't really have before. And, you know, of course, I wanted to talk about happy hour. It's Friday. Everyone's happy about
absolutely.
That. But I think beyond that, you know, one of the struggles that we did have at the beginning is how do we do things like brainstorming? How do we do things like this whiteboarding? It forced us to adapt. You know, all of those tools are available online, and the more you use them and the more you get willing to adapt, you can go further quicker. So I think that's really the mentality to take, is the dedication to make it work and finding the tools that help make that easier.
Yeah. So, you know, last year, Thrive in Tucson ran a campaign to try and attract remote workers, you know, with incentives. They were paying for internet and, you know, memberships and moving costs and all that. And we were really trying to position ourselves as a place where people can do that remote work. If there's someone just happens to be out there visiting Tucson for the first time, what would your sales pitch be to try and get them to bring that awesome remote working job here to Tucson?
Well, I think you totally hit the nail on the head at the beginning when you said outdoors is the number one thing, in my opinion, that we've got going for us. The fact that you can get outside any time of the year and enjoy this beautiful landscape, that's rare. You don't get that everywhere. And, you know, on top of that, the cost of living, it's an easy place to live and it's a beautiful place to live. The culinary scene, epic. I mean, whenever I'm traveling somewhere, the first thing I'm doing is looking at, okay, where are we going to go eat? And the fact that we have that in our own backyard is so awesome. So Tucson, it's a great place. We've got a lot going for us, and it makes it an easy sell, in my opinion, for those remote workers.
Absolutely. As all those remote workers out in the Midwest and other places are heading inside to make their phone calls, we're all heading outside.
Exactly.
I love seeing all of our teammates on the patio, on their patios, you know, making those phone calls while other people around the country are bundled up.
Right. Especially as we head into these next couple months here.
Absolutely.
Which will be nice.
Absolutely. So Sarah, we just thank you so much for coming on. Again, if people want to check out Madden Media, maddenmedia.com, and you can see all the great work that's being done over there and around our community as well. We really try hard over there. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
again,
Louie.
At the bottom of the hour here on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking with U of A's Kim Becker about Arizona football.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at Mass Mutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
All right, welcome back, Tucson and U of A fans. I am beyond excited to talk about U of A football with the newest addition, I'll say, to the Arizona football team program, their new team reporter, Kim Becker. So welcome into the studio, Kim.
Thank you so much for having me. I am super stoked.
Yeah, let's just start off with some exciting stuff. What is going on tomorrow? Can you fill us in?
Oh, just this little thing that we like to call the home opener. The Arizona Wildcats against the San Diego State Aztecs. Kickoff is at 7. You guys, it's going to be insane. As most of you know, the program is going through this huge culture change with new head coach Jed Fish, and he is really just trying to bring the fun and the excitement back to this city, back to this program, back to this team. I mean, you see the smiles on these guys' faces. They're so excited to go out there and play for all of you. So we hope that you guys pack the stands.
Yeah, again, if you haven't gotten excited about this new program, this new era, you aren't paying attention. Like, I don't know where you're looking. It's beyond exciting. And first off, just who taught Jed Fish how to use social media? Can we talk about that? He is killing it.
I don't know, but whoever it is, I wish they would come teach me, because he's giving me a run for my money here.
Seriously. I mean, he is everywhere. Everywhere I look, he is out there talking up U of A sports, sharing stuff. He's not afraid to share other program successes and say, hey, why can't we do this here? What's missing from U of A? And I mean, lifelong U of A fan, I completely agree with him. Just to kind of highlight some stuff that he's been doing recently, if you haven't been paying attention, Tucson, he's called every single high school football program in the state. Either someone from his staff has done that personally to say, hey, we want you to be a part of this program. We know we've been radio silent for a couple of years. Again, he's fully embraced social media. He is leaning heavily on U of A stars like Gronk. Did you get to meet Gronk?
I didn't, unfortunately. Oh, I came in after that, but I'm hoping he'll come back. I think we'll get him back.
I think we'll get him back.
He's a little busy right now.
Exactly. But, yeah. Especially after that amazing win. And okay, here you go. If you're like, well, this is all great and stuff, it's all fun and frizzles. Last night, the very first NFL kickoff game, right? NFL Thursday Night Football, Brady versus the Dallas Cowboys. Talk about a stage set. Wow. And there on the screen, I saw Gronk catch that ball from, 600 feet up, 60 stories up in the air.
World record.
And that was set up by the U of A program. And talk about a change, right? Going from a zero to here we are on that type of national stage. Now, obviously, we have to win a game, right? That's next up. I feel really good about our chances next week. And I actually feel really encouraged by what I saw on the field against BYU. But can you fill us in, like, behind the scenes, what did that feel like, you know, leading up to the game, after the game? Obviously not the outcome we wanted, but fill us in. What were we missing?
Yeah, of course. You know, these guys were so confident going in. And of course, new culture change and a new program does take time. It's not like you're going to snap your fingers and all of a sudden you're going to have, you know, this Alabama team or something like that, but it is on its way, and I promise you guys that. And just being able to see the smiles and the personalities that these guys are sharing in the facility and out on the field and with each other, you know, the camaraderie that this team is creating, and I think that's such a huge foundation on how to build a successful team. And that's there. You know, I think they went out, obviously you're on this massive stage, Allegiant Stadium, honestly, one of the craziest places I have ever been
it's
inside.
It's like the Death Star.
It is the Death Star. Yeah. Yes, it's insane. But you know, that this huge stage, they came out there and they fought until the very end. And I know that, you know, you want to see the numbers. You have to get a win in here. And I feel really good about tomorrow night as well. But I think these guys really feel like it's coming. And that was their first chance to really prove, you know, the whole country, to prove to everybody that they are here to stay. They're not here to give up.
Now, a lot of fans will say, like, well, this is a rebuilding year. Do you feel that energy inside of the team, or do you feel like they're really wanting to go after this? Do you feel the staff like really pushing this season? Like, why wait till next year to start winning?
No, they are definitely pushing this season. I mean, they want it so bad, and I think that's such a great thing about the sport of football is that you can feel it. I mean, these guys put in hours, the staff, the coaches, the players, they're putting in, you know, tons of hours, 7 days a week. They're taking advantage of every single minute that they have to get this team where they want to be, and they are hungry. And I think that, they're ready to come out right now and do this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I kind of warned my listeners at the top of the hour that I was going to step on a soapbox. So here we go, Kim. Here's my soapbox stance. You know, take a drink of water, hang out, and we'll be right back to it. But I just wanted to lay something out because I wanted to go through the stats because I, again, feel really, really good about this Jedfish era. And a lot of people are just kind of, you know, heartbroken and not maybe ready to open up their hearts after the last era. So I did some digging. And again, you hear it again and again around U of A and our fans, Desert Swarm, Dick Tomey, the 90s. That's just who we are. That's who we want to be again. And so I was like, okay, what does that being again look like for Arizona football? So Dick Tomey's first season, he went 4-4-3, three ties. Cal, that's how you say that word, Washington, and we actually tied to ASU in the only tie in a Territorial Cup history. And honestly, again, I love Dick Tomey. I love the 90s. I went to those games, so don't hear what I'm not saying. He honestly had a pretty pedestrian time here. He had a couple really, really great seasons, but if you line it up with like Rich Rod, it's not that different as far as a win-loss ratio, right? Rich Rod had 551 win-loss, so he won just over half of his game. Dick Tomey, just under 60% of his games at 0.95. Let's go through the Brewski era, right? Oh, I love Brewski. Again, I'm not saying what I'm not saying. Brewski was injured in 91, so we'll give him a pass on that. In 92, the team went 6-5-1. In 93, we went 10-2. In 94, we went 8-4. In 95, we went 6-5. Scooby Wright, one of my favorite defensive players of all time, his seasons 8-5, 10-4, and 7-6 during the mid-2000s. So when we're talking about U of A football and our passion that we have here for our teams and our programs and our coaches and our players, it really doesn't line up with win-loss records. This is not an excuse for Jedfish. So tell him he doesn't have this excuse. But at the end of the day, it's the passion that the fans bring into the stadium. And obviously that's been missing. That's what Jed has been asking and requesting constantly. So again, to all those fans who are waiting for the team to be good again, waiting for that Dick Tomey era, you are part of the missing piece. We need you in the stands to bring back the Desert Swarm feeling that we all had in the 90s and long for again. So again, I'm not saying that Dick Tomey was a disgrace. I'm not saying that Brewski didn't win us big games. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we're waiting for the next Brewski to come around based on our win-loss ratings and records, you're just going to have to keep waiting. Because it was not what you're seeing through those rose-colored nostalgia glasses. So why would a fan show up tomorrow, Kim? What's going to bring me out to the game?
Well, I love that you said that because, again, if you haven't been paying attention, you know, everyone that's listening here, that is exactly what Coach Fish is trying to do. I mean, last night, I'll tell you right now, a little sneak peek, we went around to Greek Row on campus. Coach Fish himself took a bunch of shirts, it's personal shirts, to these guys. And he personally invited them to the game tomorrow night. He said, you know, there's going to be DJ Scooters coming in from LA, from California. It's going to be insane. He's going to be right there in the middle of Zona Zoo. He's going to be creating this party atmosphere, this fun atmosphere to get all of the students to the stadium to see, look, let's get that school spirit back and let's get that, you know, that excitement back to campus, because especially after last year, this school and every school in this country is missing something like that. And if you're a freshman, if you're a sophomore, if you're a junior, a senior, this is where you want to be tomorrow night. We're going to have free Chick-fil-A after the third quarter.
There you go.
You know, there you go, guys. Yeah. I mean, if that's not going to do it, what is, right? Coach Fish is starting new traditions. He's going to have Happy Does played by Kenny Chesney. You know, he's going to have this whole camaraderie in the stands. He wants everyone to get up together and to sing together and just feel that energy together and to be out there and support a team that you can get behind, that wants to make this school really proud and wants to make like you said too, you know, mm-hmm. the next generation of college kids that come in to look at Arizona and look at this, I mean, this whole program that they're creating, that they want to be so attractive to everyone. And already I can tell you, I mean, I've only been here for a month, but it's mm-hmm. already a place that you want to be at. It is attractive and it is just so exciting. The energy is there, but tomorrow night is just going to be the kickoff of the future. It's going to be kind of set the stands of what these games are going to be like and what the University of Arizona football program is going to become.
That's awesome. On that note, so this is a Tucson-based, obviously, mm-hmm. radio station. That's yes. usually, this isn't a sports talk show. Sorry for folks who are like, oh, sports. I turned away from that dial. But so let's turn it back to Tucson here. So okay. you've been here for a month. So yeah. what's your first like reaction to it? How are you kind of fitting into Tucson through August, which is obviously one of the most beautiful, sarcastically, months of the month here?
Yeah, it's a little warm. I will say that.
yep.
Just a tad. I came from Orange County, California, so I am used to the heat. I was told it's going to be dry heat. I've been to Tucson, I guess mm-hmm. I should say that.
Yeah.
12 years ago, I skated with Disney on Ice for 10 years, and we did play Tucson my second year on tour, so
okay.
I was much younger then. And I think it was a different
scene.
And
in costume and a lot
exactly.
more makeup. Yeah.
but everyone here has been so awesome. They told me it was dry heat. I got here, and there was like 1,000 rainstorms the first week,
yes.
and I walked
mm-hmm.
outside, and like my hair went frizzy, and I was like, that's interesting. Everyone told me it would be dry heat, but
yeah.
it's changed a little bit. It's pivoted
yeah,
back
definitely.
To, I think, what it normally is like. But no, like I said, everyone has been so nice. Everyone's been so welcoming. That's what I've noticed the most. Coming from Orange County, which this is not a knock against Orange County, but it's just a different
you can
vibe.
Knock it. You can
okay,
knock it.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not from there, so maybe I will a little bit. No, I have amazing friends in Orange County, but just a different vibe. You know, obviously, there's a lot less people here in Tucson mm-hmm. than there is in Southern California, but everyone here has just been so welcoming. And you can tell that Tucson is a place close to most people's hearts here,
yeah.
you know? And like you said, this is, everyone loves Tucson and they want it to become, you know, and to continue to be the city that they have always known and love, and to grow in that way mm-hmm. As well. But I'm just super excited to be a part of it, and to be welcomed here has been such a blessing. I'm very
yeah.
excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for a lot of people, you know, Lute Olson passed
yeah.
pretty recently, and it always feels recent mm-hmm. And always will. And he was a big part of this community. He's honestly why a lot of us still live here. I know for me mm-hmm. personally, growing up, going to McHale Center, he was the reason I'm here, because I looked over at Zona Zoo and said, I want to be there. And so my list of colleges that I applied for was pretty short.
Mm-hmm.
And so we obviously want to see that. And I think Jed Fish has done a really great job of embracing this community. His wife is, again, social media, my goodness. His wife is on social media asking for food,
oh my
restaurant
gosh.
Advice.
And she's amazing.
Yeah, I bet. So, I mean, that's obviously how you get into a Tucson's heart is through
well,
our stomach.
I'm like, can you give me some of those recommendations? I definitely need
so,
some.
Yeah, so on that, so where have you been? Like, what are your favorite? Do you have a favorite? Not to put you on the spot. Any spots that are like, ooh, this is a fun spot? Or do you really need our help? Because we can have callers.
That would be amazing. So, like I said, I've been here for a month. They are feeding us so well at the football facility, so I actually haven't had to go many places to eat.
Yeah.
But I have been in like that St. Philip's Plaza. I've been to Union and Reforma, and
definitely.
Those two are great. The Arizona, the wine place. What is that
Arizona Wine Shop?
Collective or something?
Oh, Arizona Wine
yes.
Collective. That's it.
Oh
yes.
my gosh.
Yeah.
And the couple that owns that place. I
They're
mean,
so
shout
great.
Out to them. So great. I went there with my mom. My mom came to help me move in just for a short 36 hours. So that's really all that I've been to.
Okay.
So I need some recommendations.
The whole world is out there. The restaurant scene is your oyster.
Amazing.
So it looks
I'm a
like,
big foodie.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, you've moved to the right city,
yes.
let me tell you. But it looks like we have a caller on Bunker. I think he has some suggestion. Oh, nope. You're typing stuff in here. I'm reading stuff off. I'm Ron Burgundy? Question mark. I'm just
oh, no.
gonna read what you put in front of me. Let's just real quick go through.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. So obviously downtown is amazing, right? So it's Friday here. We're just going to help everyone kind of find out their happy hour plans here. If you're looking for cocktails, Tough Luck Club is
Ooh.
Fantastic. It's in the basement of a morgue, Riley's Pizza. They use different ovens, so it's okay. Owl Club is another really great place, also a morgue. There's a running theme here in Tucson, apparently. Are there any more morgues we can change into cocktail bars? Is fantastic. The Coronet has a really great cocktail program as well. Pizza, I saw
I'm
on Twitter.
Huge
it, okay.
pizza fan.
So Anello Pizza is, as my family calls it, a pizza spa.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yes. You walk in, the list is short. They have like a set vegetable, a set salad, and like a really short little list of pizzas. Their wine list is fantastic. A lot of like natural kind of different wines that you see everywhere else. Flora, I mean, I could just keep going. Flora Pizza is fantastic. I'm obviously a foodie as well.
Yeah.
Sidecar is a cocktail place right next door. You got Fiamme up in the foothills.
Okay,
does fantastic.
I think I need to write these down.
I'll give you a list. Yeah, Half Price Market. I'm really like doing commercials now
this
for Tucson's food scene. I'm getting hungry. Yeah, so Fiamme does like half-price margarita pizzas on Monday. So come on now.
Mm-hmm.
You'll need that after like a busy weekend of everything. So, man, there's so much more. We'll talk off air and get you a good list written up. But Tucson loves our food for sure. So as far as that's concerned, I heard you say something interesting. You said that at the end of the third quarter,
yes,
there's free Chick-fil-A being handed out to U of A students in the student section.
Exactly.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm, because everybody needs that third quarter snack.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've stood in that student section, and it takes a lot of energy when you're actually rooting and standing the entire time. You don't realize that those kids are standing the entire time. So give them a break if they need to, you know, munch on some Chick-fil-A or head out to grab some water or something. But that it just seems to me like Jed is not just here to coach. He's here to fix a lot of problems that we've had around the university. And like you said, like going under Greek Grill, like how was the response the people that you guys saw the other night?
We have some video footage and we cannot wait to show you guys. I mean, they were cheering. There was probably, you know, 30 guys at one of the frats that we went to, and they were just cheering him on. They welcomed him in. They had this big circle, and Coach Fish gave this speech, and I mean, they were just so excited. And again, you could see, I love the word community that you keep using. You can mm-hmm. see this community coming back to life. Just within that tiny little stint of a activity that we did. But also, you mentioned too, like, he is so supportive of other athletics within the school, of
yeah,
all
definitely.
The other programs. We talk about it. We, you know, we hear that the soccer team won and, you know, the basketball program is starting, and we're so excited to bring that back as well, to create, you know, more of a camaraderie between all of the sports around mm-hmm. the University of Arizona. I think that's huge. I grew up as an athlete too, and you just resonate with other athletes and you want to support them.
Yeah, definitely.
And support is so contagious, and optimism and all of that is just something that you really want to have for everybody else, especially that is within your school. And the great thing about Coach Fish is that he comes from so many winning programs as well, is
definitely.
That he knows how to bring that here, and that is what he's starting, you know. He's like, okay, he's taking a piece of every single team that he's been with, which is a lot,
yeah.
college and NFL, and he's bringing that here. And he's also met so many people within the last, you know, 18 years that he's been coaching, and or whatever it is, 20 years. And like Jay Glazer came in, you know, he's
right.
got great relationships with people like Jay Glazer and other people that know him and can see how much he cares about his job and about the kids on this team and about his staff. And I think that's what's going to just create this really awesome thing for you guys.
I love it. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead to a break, but when we come back, we're just going to wrap it up, have a little call to action, a little, like, you know, come on guys, call to fill up the stadium there. So stick on with us.
Issues with real people. Tipping Point with Zach Ensor. 1030 The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to FCTucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. FCTucson.com.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
All right, welcome back. We only have a couple of minutes left here at the top of the hour, and we're here with Kim Becker of University of Arizona football team, the new team reporter, just talking about U of A. And you mentioned something, you know, with the guys that you've been interacting with on the mm-hmm. football team and just the attitudes that you're feeling around there. Are there any characters that stick out that we should be keeping our eye out for? Like, obviously we have our stars, but like, who's the next, you know, and there's never going to be a next Gronk. Gronk is one of a kind. They broke the mold, or he probably broke the mold when he left. But who's some guys that we should be looking out for just some fun characters?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's been such a whirlwind of a month. They were so busy in training camp. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with them then. And then I'm just kind of starting to really kind of talk to him more and mm-hmm. see him around. But Jamari Joyner, of course, is someone who sure. is coming back, hopefully. And he has been just, you can see his energy. I mean, even on the sidelines of the game last week, you know, he wasn't able to play, but he was so excited for his guys. He's someone that has been really fun to see. Stanley Berryhill, of course, has been someone that
my goodness, yeah.
is just so sweet. I did an interview with him during training camp, and one of his friends had brought their baby and aww. Gave it to him, and he did this interview with me, and it was just so so awesome to see that side of him, too. But, you know, I'm still kind of getting to know all of the guys, so I hope to know more,
yeah.
To know more of them and to get to know them definitely a lot better. But we've kind of just been really focusing on football right now and, you know, kind of seeing what these guys can do out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's up next for you as you kind of head into this? I mean, it's a big day. Obviously, first game was last week. First game opener. What does your next like 24 hours look like as we kind of head into game day?
Oh, the best 24 hours ever. I'm obsessed with football and especially University of Arizona football now, if you can't tell. But so we've got some more content to push out. You know, we're really focusing on the social media mm-hmm. side of things too, and we're having so much fun with that. So I'm going to go and create a little bit of more of that. With Steven Gonzalez, who is in charge of our media department,
nice.
Who is the GOAT. Shout out to him. So we're going to create some more stuff for you guys today. Send that out. We're doing Bear Down Friday at mm-hmm. 6 p.m. down on University, and the football team is going to go check that out for the first time. I've heard that they don't normally come to that, but we are coming to it this year.
Hear that? Things are changing,
Bear
guys.
Down Friday.
Bear Down Fridays.
Yeah, we might even have some more It's Personal shirts to be handing out there mm-hmm. on University.
I like that.
So if you are around, please come over for that. You might get some gear to really just amp up everybody for the game tomorrow. And then, of course, the Wildcat Walk is going to be tomorrow. I think the bus arrives back to campus around 4:50 after they are at the hotel all day tomorrow. And then we will do the Wildcat Walk probably right around 5.
There you go.
Bring everybody into the stadium
yes,
for DJ
everyone.
Scooter. Like we said, he will be there 2 hours before kickoff to really get this atmosphere going.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then we're gonna have some awesome football for you guys, and we have a really great presentation before the game. We have an awesome video to show everybody. We're just gonna bring the energy to the stadium, and we need all of you guys to bring your energy to complement that.
Yeah, absolutely. And tickets are still available. You can head on to University of Arizona's website to snag those. They're affordable. They're not going to be breaking the bank. You know, obviously you might not be getting the best seat in the house, which is probably on the field, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
But
I'm
hey,
a little jealous, but it's fine.
Can't help it.
And then just a reminder, hey, that the streetcar is still toll free. It's still 100% free to you. So if you have plans downtown, checking out one of the great restaurants down there, you can hop on the train, head up to the university and check out that game. You can tailgate in, I don't know, man, wherever you want. Charo Steak, Panka. You can tell that I'm hungry, even though it's 10 o'clock. just getting really excited for this squad. So where can they find your work? How can we keep tapped into the program?
Absolutely. So Arizona Football, at Arizona Football on Instagram, we are putting up content daily, very cool videos that we've been making. And then it's Arizona F-Ball on Twitter.
Very cool. All right. Well, as we wrap up the show, I want to leave us with this. University of Arizona fans, lifelong Tucsonans, is a quote. You can get more than you have because you can become more than you are. Similarly, unless you change who you are, you'll always have what you've got. Let's get out there, let's bear down, and let's prove not just to Jed Fish, but to everyone that it's personal. Thanks, Tucson.